Thank you very much, Hazel, for that lovely message and song tonight and for your ministry. And a word of thanks to your pastor for his warm words of welcome tonight to be here to share in your special harvest weekend of services. And it's a great joy tonight to be here as we come to the Word of God and as we look at the Word of God together. Jonathan was mentioning about the supper for you, and I've just seen what it's like in that side room. And I hope that none of you are on a diet tonight, but that you're out to eat. There's all sorts of diets, of course, that are out there, and we talk a lot about diets, don't we? And someone was saying to me not long ago that there's the red and green diet. Now, I'm not sure if any of you are familiar with that, whether you've been on the red and green diet or not. And then somebody told me more recently there's the pig and fish diet, and I think I like it quite well. And what it means is you eat like a pig and you drink like a fish. So maybe that's what we should be on tonight for our supper afterwards. But before we get to the supper time, we're going to turn to the Word of God together, and we're reading from Matthew's Gospel, and we're turning to read from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and reading together from verse 24. Matthew 13 and verse 24. And here Jesus gives us a parable of the wheat and the tares. And we want to look at this portion of Scripture together this evening as we come to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And moving down to verse 36, and the Lord Jesus gives us an explanation of this parable in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that soweth them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. We trust that God will bless to us the public reading of his word this evening. Let's unite our hearts together just in prayer as we come to the Lord this evening. Our God and our Father, we do want to thank you again tonight for the great joy and privilege of being able just to gather in your presence and to come before thee this evening. And Lord, as we come to thy word just now, we pray for the help of your Holy Spirit. We ask, O God, for that anointing of God. We pray, O God, that tonight, Lord, you will visit this gathering, Father. Thou knowest all our hearts, and as our faces differ, so do our needs. But Lord, we thank you that thou art able, Lord, to meet every need this evening. And we praise you, Lord, for the fullness of the grace of God to meet the need of the human heart. And we ask, O God, as we turn to thy word, as we focus upon thy word, that, O God, tonight we might know that help of God. Lord, we pray that you'll open our hearts to your word. Remember each one in this gathering tonight, Lord. Father, very few that I know, but Lord, we realize that you know everyone and you know the very smallest details of their lives. And we pray, O God, that tonight you'll speak into the depths of hearts tonight. For we ask it in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was thinking on this thought that we have read together, this portion of scripture that we have read together, and as to how I could introduce it tonight. And when I came here and was opening my Bible, I was reaching across for one of these tomatoes. There is a secret. They'll not roll off. I've just discovered that they're attached to the pulpit. But anyhow, they'll help me just to illustrate what I want to think about tonight from this portion of scripture. And I want to think from this parable that Jesus taught us on three things. How the seed germinates, how it grows, and then, of course, how it is harvested. And somebody, whether it was one of you or not, but somebody planted a seed, a tomato seed, and of course it came into, it germinated in that peat that it was put in and that pot that it was put in. And then it started to grow, and the plant began to grow, and of course soon those little flowers began to appear on that tomato plant, and that was a sign that fruit was coming, wasn't it? And then, of course, when the tomato came to this size and this nice color, it was time to gather it and to bring it in and to enjoy it for food. I remember when I was a boy at school, I used to get on the bicycle at 4:30 every morning and rode on the bicycle for about 3 to 4 miles where there was a tomato farm, and I used to pick tomatoes every morning. And I worked from 5:30 until 3:00 every day. And of course we did that because it was so warm under the glass where the tomatoes were growing. Of course it was so warm, temperatures were so hot. And if you didn't get at it early, well, it wasn't easy picking tomatoes when the sun got up and the heat built up in those tomato houses where they were. And those of you who work, of course, with tomatoes will know that they're a very, very dirty plant. And when you touch the leaves and when you work at the leaves and when you work where the tomatoes are to pull them, well, your hands just end up really, really dirty. And it's a very sticky type of substance that comes off the plants, of course, that make it difficult, and they stain and really stain your hands and all every part of you for that matter. And so when we think of the tomato plant, we think of the time when it germinates, the time when that little seed germinates in the soil, the time when it grows into the plant, and of course the time when it's gathered in and it is harvested and gathered in. And that's my three thoughts as we look at this portion of scripture together tonight. And so in this portion of scripture, Jesus is teaching us some tremendous truths about the harvest. There's something special about the harvest time. And as we look around the church tonight, we can see how beautiful it has been decorated. And you've been bringing fruit, and you've been bringing various things from the field that remind us of God's faithfulness in harvest. A time of sowing, a time of germinating, a time of growing. And of course then there's the time of the gathering in of the harvest, and that's a very special time. And of course when every farmer goes out to sow his field in the time of harvest, he sows in his field the best seed that he can get, the most certified seed that he can find. And of course he plants it in the ground that he has prepared, and he watches it grow, and of course it comes a time when he gathers it in. But we realize that when the farmer goes out and sows his seed, there's other seeds that are in that ground, and of course we call them weeds, and all sorts of things will grow in amongst the seed that the farmer has sown. and he struggles with that, and he sows or he sprays with all sorts of weed killers. I'm not up in harvest farming at all, but I know that they need to sow all sorts of weed killers to kill the weeds so that the seeds will grow. And here Jesus is speaking to us about the farmer who went out to sow his seed. But you know, just like the farmers today and in the fields today, there were other things that grew in those fields. And the Bible speaks of them as the tares that grew. Now the farmer doesn't sow the tares. They are in the ground, but they grow alongside of a harvest. And they grow alongside of the seed that the farmer has sown. And so the instruction that we find in this portion of scripture is that when the servant comes to the master, the owner of the field, and he says, look, there's tares growing in this field. There are weeds that are growing in this field alongside of the harvest. He says, what will we do? And he says, let both grow together until the time of harvest. Let both grow together until the time of harvest. Jesus gives us an explanation from verse 36 down where we read together, and he tells us that the sower here is likened to Christ. The good seed is the gospel. The one who sows the tares is the devil. And the wheat are those who are saved, and the tares are those who have never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at this portion of scripture tonight, and in verses 24 and verse 25 of the verses that we read together, we see that in this field, there are two types of things that are germinating. There are two types of seeds that are germinating in this field. And the Bible tells us in verse 24 and 25, he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And so, friends, in this field, we have good seed that is growing, and alongside of the good seed in the soil are the tares that are in the soil. Now let's think about the seed that has been sown here. Obviously, friends, and Jesus teaches us here that the good seed is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we spiritualize this story and Jesus' explanation of this story, he says that the good seed is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tares, it's another seed. And it's another sower has sowed this seed in the field. In fact, the Bible teaches us here, Jesus says, that it's an enemy has done this. And so for the farmer, when he had sowed his good seed, he says, an enemy came along and the enemy sowed another seed in my field. And so the seed in the field, there was that good seed and there was that seed that was not good, and that wasn't sown by the owner of the field. And when we look at the sower, not only the seed, but we look at the sower, we find that he went out. And the sower, the owner of the field, the man who had interest in this field, he sowed only the good seed. But an enemy came, and the enemy sowed another seed in the field. Dear friends, tonight when we think of our world in which you and I are living tonight, and we spiritualize this thought, we realize that there is a good seed of the gospel that is being preached. There is a good seed of the word of God that is being shared with men and women. The wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who can save, the one who can deliver, the one who can set us free, the one who can give us a hope for eternity.
The wonderful seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being sowed. And we rejoice that across our little province tonight, many are hearing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're remembering 150 years ago, of course, when our little province experienced revival in the 1859 revival. God moved through our little province in great power, and many, many, many precious souls were saved through the preaching of the good seed of the Word of God. But friends, make no mistake about it this evening. There is another sower in the world tonight. And Jesus says here in explaining this parable, because of the tares, he says, an enemy has come and the enemy is sowing another seed. And there are those tonight who don't believe the word of God. There are those who don't believe the message of salvation by faith alone in Jesus Christ. There are those who don't accept that they need to be saved. Why, friends? Because there's an enemy that is sowing another seed. An enemy that is sowing another seed. And I wonder, friends, this evening, what seed is germinating in your heart tonight? What seed is growing in your life tonight? Is it the seed of the Word of God that is growing in your life? Your faith, your trust, your walk is planted in that good seed of the Word of God tonight? Or I wonder, friend, is it another seed that controls and directs and motivates your life tonight? You see, there are two seeds. There's the seed of the gospel, and then there's a seed that an enemy sows in the minds and hearts of men and women. And so, friends, we find that in this field, these two seeds were germinating side by side. These two seeds in the same soil were active in exactly the same soil. But I want to look a little further tonight, not only at the thought of how they germinated together in that same soil, but how they grew together in that same soil. And when we come down to verse 26 of this portion of Scripture, we find that the householder comes in, of course, and he says, you know, there's two things growing in our field. He says, we have got wheat that's growing in our field, but he says, alongside of that wheat, he says, there are tares that are growing in our field. And so, as I mentioned already, when the servant comes to him, he says, what shall we do with the problem that we have? What shall we do with the problem? And of course, the master of the field says, let both grow together until the time of harvest. He says, don't do anything just now. He said, let the wheat and let the tares grow together until the time of harvest. You see, friends, in this field, there was similar activity taking place in this field. The wheat was growing. The tares were growing. And they were growing together in the same field. You know, often we ask ourselves the question, perhaps, why does God allow evil people to live in the world? Why does God not take those wicked people out of the world and just leave the good people in the world? Jesus says, let both grow together until the time of harvest. You see, friends, God says, let the wicked and the righteous live together in the world until the time of harvest. Until the time of harvest. He says, there's a time of reaping that's coming, he says. And at that time of reaping, there will be a great separation at the time of reaping. And here in this field, we have both of them, and they are growing together. It would be difficult at this early stage, we're told, to recognize the difference between the tares and the wheat. Difficult to recognize the difference between the tares and the wheat. You see, friends, they were growing together. The activity was very similar. And can I say, friends, tonight, you may be in our gathering, and perhaps you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You've never been saved by the grace of God. And perhaps you say, you know, my activity is very similar to those who profess to be Christians. That might be true. Earlier this year, we had a young lady who started to come to church. And I didn't know whether she was saved or she wasn't saved. I couldn't tell the difference by looking at her, by speaking to her as she would come in and out of church. And she seemed to me to be a very religious, a very upright lady in many ways. She was a school teacher. And one Sunday morning, going out of church a number of months ago, she was shaking my hand and she said, you know, I want you to call to see me. And I went round to her home and I went in to see her, and she said to me, the first thing she said to me, she says, you know, she says, I'm not saved and I need to get saved. She said to me, she says, I've come up through Sunday school, an evangelical Sunday school. She says, when I went to school, I always went to Scripture Union. I always mingled and mixed amongst Christian people. She says, when I went to university, I always stayed with Christians. And she says, many people think that I'm a Christian. But she says, I've never been saved by the grace of God. You see, friends, you may have similar activity to a Christian and yet not be saved. You may come to God's house. You may come to church on a Sunday. You may read the Word of God. You may say your prayers. And friend, you may look, and the activity in your life may be very similar to that of a Christian. But oh, Jesus would say tonight, you're not amongst the wheat, you're amongst the tares. You're amongst the tares. You see, in this field, there was this activity, there was this growing that was going on in this field. And the tares were growing and the wheat were growing. And they were all growing together in this field. And it was difficult to distinguish between what was tares and what was wheat in the field. And you know, we're told as well that in the early stages of tares, they look very similar. Their appearance is very similar to that of wheat. You see, it's difficult to know the difference. I could go down through this church building tonight. It's always nice when you're a visiting speaker and you don't know very many people in the congregation. But I couldn't go down, friends, through this congregation and look at you and say, well, you look like a Christian and you look like an unsaved person. You look like someone who represents the wheat and you look like somebody that represents the tares. I couldn't do that. You've come to church tonight. And I can't see any further than the outside. And I can't put you into categories and say, well, you folks, you're all unsaved and you're all saved. You're all Christians. You're all non-Christians. I can't do that from your appearance tonight. And I believe that in the early stages in this field where the wheat and the tares were growing together, it was difficult to distinguish the difference between the wheat and the tares. And so the instruction was, let both grow together until the time of harvest. Let them grow together until the time of harvest. And friend, tonight, you know whether you belong to the Lord or not tonight. You know, friends, whether the seed that is operating in your life tonight is the seed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know tonight, if your faith is in that seed of the Word of God tonight, in the great message of salvation by faith alone in Christ, I want to ask you in this gathering, dear friends, tonight, are you saved? Do you know the Lord tonight? Can you say, yes, I know that I'm represented by the wheat in the parable that Jesus was teaching. I'm not amongst the tares. Friends, it's very important that you do. It's very important that you're absolutely clear tonight and you understand tonight that you are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. And so he let both grow together until the time of harvest. God is allowing the Christian and the non-Christian in our world tonight to grow together until the time of harvest. Grow together until the time of harvest. Friends, it reminds me that God is a merciful God. It reminds me that God is a long-suffering God. While wicked men are allowed to live side by side with those who know and love the Lord, I'm reminded of God's mercy, of His long suffering. Let both grow together until the time of harvest. Yes, both germinated together, both grew together. And then, friends, we see that both were gathered together. Both were gathered together. When we come down to verse 30, we read, "Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather thee together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barns." Harvest time has arrived. In the parable that Jesus gives us here of the wheat and the tares growing together, he says, let both grow together until the time of harvest. But then he says, in the time of harvest, go out and gather the tares first. Bind them in bundles and then gather in the wheat into the barn. Harvest in our fields. You know, dear friends, we've been so grateful to God for the last couple of weeks of beautiful weather to gather in the harvest. Harvest is a wonderful time, isn't it? A time of rejoicing for the farmer. A time of great joy when he sees those fields where the combine harvester has gone in and cleared those fields, took out the grain, and all is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. It's a great time gathering in the harvest. You know, when we come to this portion of Scripture, friends, we see that in the time of harvest, there is a difference. There is a difference. The difference was this in the time of harvest, that when the wheat came to the time of harvest, the fruit in the head of the wheat, in the kernels of the wheat, causes it to hang over when it's full of fruit, full of harvest. The head of the wheat begins to bow. Now you know that more than I do, you farmers tonight. But the tares, because there was no fruit in the tares and there was just little black seeds in the head of the tares, they stood straight when the wheat's head began to bow low, weighed down with the weight of harvest. When the farmer would go into the field, it was easy now to distinguish the wheat from the tares, because the tares were standing straight, and the wheat was bowed down with the weight of harvest, and it was easy to distinguish the two. Friends, can I say this? There is one difference between tares and wheat, and that is there is fruit in the wheat. But there is no fruit in the tares. And friend, you may look like a Christian, you may act like a Christian, but there is no fruit in your life. There is only fruit in the lives of those who have been born again of the Spirit of God. The fruits of salvation in our lives. The fruits of forgiveness. The fruits of the assurance of salvation. There is fruit in those who are represented by the wheat, but there is no fruit in those who are represented by the tares. They are empty. And when it comes to the time of harvest, We find here that there's a great difference. What is the difference? There is no value at the end of its time. When it comes to harvest, there is no value in those old tares. They are no use. Why? The Bible says, what does he say? He says, go out and gather those tares in bundles and bundle them together. Bind them together, he says, and burn them. Why does he say that, friends? Because there's no value in them. There's no value at the time of harvest. But oh, friends, it's not like that when it comes to the wheat. Bind them into bundles. Dear friend, can I say graciously to you tonight, if you're not saved and you come to stand before God on that great final harvest, your life will have no value. God will say, bind that man and cast him into hell forever. And friend, the Bible teaches me in Luke chapter 16 of a rich man and Lazarus, and he's still bound in hell, because he's of no value to God for heaven. How do I know that he's bound? Because it teaches me that there is a great gulf fixed. He's bound in that place. Why, friends? Because he has nothing of value at the end of life's journey that is of any value for heaven. Nothing for heaven. Nothing but leaves. Nothing of value. Let me ask you, friend, tonight, have you got something of value in that life of yours tonight that is valuable to heaven? The old tares had nothing valuable. And he says, bind them into bundles and burn them. Dear friend, tonight in this gathering, are you amongst the wheat or are you amongst the tares? To bind them. And then we see in verse 30 also. And then he says, and bind them into bundles to burn them. And then look at this, friends. But gather the wheat into my barns. Gather the wheat into my barns. They germinated together. They grew together. They were harvested together. But oh, friends, one was bound into bundles and burned. And the other was gathered into the barn for safety. Because it was valuable. There's not a farmer in our church service tonight, or can I say there's not a farmer in this community that would build a shed to house weeds, is there? Not one. Why? Because they're of no value. They are of no value. So why would you house weeds? Why would you build a shed to house weeds that were of no value? And these tares were of no value. And so he says, burn them. That's what you farmers do with the weeds in your field, isn't it? If you go out, if you're able to separate them, if it gets to that stage, maybe you don't do that. I remember as a child at that job of pulling ragweeds when they got up in the crop. Back-breaking job. But you know, we didn't house them. We burned them. We destroyed them. They were useless. Useless. Friend, in this harvest service tonight, is your life of value tonight because it's in Christ? Is your life of value tonight because you know and love the Savior and you're of value to God, and God tonight is preparing a barn for you in heaven, and it's not a barn, but in keeping with this portion of Scripture, for it's a mansion, isn't it? Because you have something that's valuable, and God says, I'm going to take you to that mansion in glory because you're valuable. Now, friends, it's not because of what we are, but it's what we are through grace. what we are through grace tonight. Valuable. He takes the wheat. And I tell you, friend, this man was happy on this occasion, I'm sure, when he went out to gather in the wheat into his harvest, into his barn. You know, when I come into the church tonight, I could look at the church and say, it's looking beautiful. Looking beautiful. We had our harvest services this weekend, also on Friday and Sunday. And one of the ladies who comes to school teaches in Kilronan School. It's a special school for special needs and children that have many difficulties and problems in learning. And she said to me, can I bring the children to see the harvest decorations? And I said, no problem. And so I met them at the church this morning at 10 o'clock before we took everything apart. And although they had very few words and very limited communication with us, they weren't able, of course, to communicate because of their difficulties. But, you know, when they came in and they saw all the things around, they just went, oh, oh. They were just amazed to see it all. The wonder of it. When I came into your church tonight and saw the church and saw it so beautifully decorated, I thought, well, somebody's been busy. Somebody's been preparing for the harvest. I didn't meet anybody in the car park coming, running with a basket of fruit or a bunch of flowers. No. You prepared before for the harvest. Ah, friend, I wonder, are you prepared for that great final harvest? When Jesus is going to gather his sheaves. He's going to separate at that harvest. Those that are saved, he's going to gather to himself. Those that are unsaved are going to be separated from him forever to be bound and cast into hell forever. Why? Because they have no value to God. No value to God. Friends, those of us who are saved tonight are only old sinners saved by grace. But we're valuable to God. We're washed in the blood. We've become the children of God. We're in the family of God. We're valuable. We've become sons and daughters of God tonight. And God says, I'm going to take you home to heaven. I'm going to take my children home to heaven because they're valuable to me. You're here tonight, and friend, you're not valuable to God in the sense that you belong to him. You are valuable. He loves you. And in mercy, he lets you stay beside the wheat. He lets you live alongside of the Christians in the world in which we are because of his mercy. But friend, if death was to take you, there's no value in you because you're not his child. You're not under the blood. You're not washed in the precious blood. You're not saved. You have never known the joy of sins forgiven. You're not valuable to God. You've never been born into the family of God. And if death was to overtake you tonight, Jesus would say, bind them in bundles and cast them into the fire. Friend, will you come to Christ tonight? Will you be saved tonight? Will you turn away from your sin tonight? Maybe from your righteousness tonight? And come to the cross. And be wonderfully saved tonight. Get right with God tonight. In this harvest service. Thank God, friends, you can be part of the wheat. Ready. When Jesus comes or calls. May God help you to trust him this evening. Amen.